All right, let's take our Bibles this morning. Let's go again to the book of Luke. How many have been reading this story this month? Something that we have read for a long time. Just rereading it. In this particular passage that we're going to read this morning, we're picking up in the middle of it again in verse 36 through 38. And it starts out and it says, "Now indeed," this is Gabriel speaking to Mary, and he says, "Elizabeth, your relative, has conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." How many believe that? How many have that underlined in your Bible? Okay, "with God, nothing is impossible." Verse 38, "Now, then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Father, we thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for the opportunity to come to read your word, to look into your word, to study your word. And Lord, let your word speak to us this morning. And Father, we thank you for that. And Lord, we just pray that as we open our ears to hear today, Lord God, that we would respond as you would have us to respond. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now again, we are talking about this part of the story, and I really just want to talk about one line. "Let it be to me according to your word." You know, now think about the announcement first. Think about what was the angel announcing to Mary. The angel was announcing to Mary that as a virgin, she was going to have a son. As a virgin, the Holy Spirit would come upon her and she would conceive and bear God's son. Not just a son, but God's son. Now, to me, that just seems like that's way out there. Now, can you imagine trying to wrap your brain around something like that? Something that seems impossible. Okay, it's one thing. Okay, Elizabeth, she has a husband. They're well advanced. They've been married a long time. So when the angel says to them that they're going to have a son, okay, we kind of have an idea how this works by now. Right? I mean, there's some logic that goes along with that. But Mary, as a virgin, is told that the Holy Spirit is going to come upon her and she's going to conceive. Now, for her to take that and wrap her brain around that, and it seems like, because the story just kind of rolls right along, we've heard this story for years, the angel comes, makes the announcement, and then all of a sudden, she responds to the angel, "Let it be unto me according to your word." I mean, that quick. How fast do you respond to God? I mean, when God says something to you, you go just, "Oh, that's mine. I got it." I don't think we do that. I think what we do is we tend to sit there and argue or wait for something to prove what the angel already said. Now, the next day after the Holy Spirit had come upon her, maybe she could say, "Oh, yeah, let it be unto me. I know what they're talking about now." But, I mean, she just immediately took it by faith. "That's mine. I'm going to be a mother. I'm going to be the mother of our Lord, the Messiah, Jesus." Sometimes we don't respond as quick as what Mary did. Now, I don't know about you. Maybe you do, and I'm preaching to the choir, and you guys have already got this figured out. But sometimes I have to let that word settle down in my heart. I've got to get that word. I hear that word, but then I got to think about it. before it really becomes mine. Now, I'm not saying that's right. I mean, Mary's got it figured out. She did it right. I don't always do that. And there's a lot of examples of people not doing that. The children of Israel going into the wilderness or into the promised land. They stayed in the wilderness how many years? 40. Before they figured out God is able. And it took a whole new generation of people to figure that out. It wasn't the same old generation that rejected the plan earlier. Abram, Sarai, they got a word from God that they were going to be parents of many nations, kings and nations are going to come from them. And they just scratch their head like, really? Now, I say that way because they did respond. Okay, we'll give it to them. They did respond. They did leave their land, and they did go to this land that was promised, and they were still wandering around looking for this land that God was going to show them. Okay? Now, it says, Genesis, let me read here. Genesis 16, 1 through 4 says, Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. And we know that story. And so she said to Abram, The Lord has kept me from having children. Go, sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her. Abram agreed because he was stupid. That's not in the Bible, is it? But it's true, right? He believed his wife because he was just being stupid. Verse 3, so after that, Abraham had been living in Canaan how many years? 10. They had been working at this for 10 years. After 10 years, they began to grow weary, thinking, you know what, maybe we need to help God. Well, I don't think God needs any help, but that was their plan. And Abraham took Hagar and laid with her, and she became pregnant. Now, what was God's plan? Remind me what God's plan was. Sarah was supposed to be the one, not Hagar. They don't even sound the same. I'll bet they don't even look the same. But yet, they got confused. But God was able. God was able. Now, think about this. Who's waiting on who? Or if that's the way to say it, maybe it's who's waiting on whom. Is God waiting on Abraham, or is Abraham supposed to be waiting on God? Who is waiting on the children of Israel to get it figured out? Was God waiting on the children of Israel, or were the children of Israel supposed to be waiting on God to prove it, that they could go into the home promised land? Look at this. Look at this scripture. Joshua chapter 2, this is an amazing scripture if we think about it. Joshua chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is Rahab talking to the spies, the two spies as they came in, and she hid them, remember, in her house, and then told the spies this story. Verse 10 says, We have heard about the Lord, how the Lord dried up the water at the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites, east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, Our hearts, what? Melted. Who's waiting on who? God is waiting on us to get it together. How many songs do we sing? I'm waiting on you, God. Come on. I don't think that's the way it goes. God had already prepared the way for the children of Israel to go into the promised land, defeat the enemy that was in the promised land, and move in. In fact, it didn't look anything like what we think about. Let's go back to the Red Sea. What was going on there? Okay, the Israelites came out of Egypt. God brought them out of Egypt and took them to a dead end, or what looked like a dead end, right? How many have felt like you've been there? Okay, God, what are we doing here? I must have missed it. Or you are really got this messed up, because there's no way out of this, and the enemy was coming after them. And see, the children of Israel thought the great deliverance was getting them through the Red Sea. But that was only part of it. Think about it. This story here tells us what God was doing on the other side of the desert. Miles away from where the children of Israel were, God was working his plan to defeat the enemy when they felt like they were at the dead end. He was already working on the other side. He was already working on the other side in Jericho. He was already defeating the enemy with what he was doing here at the Red Sea. What's God doing tomorrow for you today? Think about it. You might think you're in this terrible battle, this terrible struggle right now. But what's God doing for you next week? What's God preparing for you next year? You see, I think we get so caught up in our world right now that we don't realize, that we forget God's already been in tomorrow. He's already been there. Won the victory, came back. Now he's offering it to us. He's already been next week. He's already been there. He knows what's going to happen the week after that. He knows what's going to happen in 2025. He's already been there. 2025 is not going to surprise God. He's already been there. He's already got the plans laid out for us. If we are willing to say, let it be according to your word. I think sometimes we get so overwhelmed with, but I can't do that. They couldn't either. But I can't sing. I can't talk. I can't read in front of people. I get nervous when I just stand up in front of people. There's no way I could say anything. There's no way I could teach Sunday school. There's no way I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. Do you realize God has already been there? And he's bringing you to a point of victory for him. He's already bringing you to that. He's already got that point laid out. And he's bringing you to that point. He already had this thing with Mary and Jesus figured out from before the foundation of the world. He just needed Mary to come into agreement with God and say, be it unto me according to your word. That's what he was looking for. He didn't come to try to do something that was out of his plan. He already had planned this. He just needed Mary to come into agreement. You see, back to Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah had a problem. He was, God, this can't happen. I mean, I know how this works, but God, how? We have tried and tried. This is, with God, nothing is impossible. See, Zechariah couldn't seem to come into agreement with God's word until God shut his mouth. You see, many times we just got to shut our mouth and just be quiet. But see, sometimes we don't know what the word of God is. There's a scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the word of truth." Okay, how many know that scripture? You've read that, probably memorized it, probably can all quote King James. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be approved." So we know the scripture, right? Okay. So, but how many know why he said that? What was he talking about there in that passage? Well, I'm going to go back over to 2 Timothy. And it might surprise you what was going on at that time. Okay, verse 15 says, do your best. You notice he didn't say, do it right. Do it perfectly. He just said, do your best. Can you guys do your best? Doesn't mean you have to do it perfect, right every time. Just do your best. To present yourself to God, one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid, verse 16, avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Do not get involved in godless chatter. I'll let you define that for your own conversation. But think about it. He says, those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Verse 17, their teachings will spread like gangrene among them. Okay, now he's given us some examples of some people who have gotten involved in these godless conversations. And he says, among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have departed from the truth. Now listen to what they say. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. They say that the resurrection, and what he's talking about is Jesus' return, Jesus coming back to the earth, taking the church away, the resurrection of the dead, the resurrection of the believers, has already taken place. But because people hadn't studied to show thyself approved, they were deceived into this doctrine. Well, maybe Jesus already has come, and this is as good as it's going to get. Maybe we're already in the millennium. Maybe we're already at the last millennium days, this 1,000-year reign of God. Maybe we're already there. You see, if you study the Word of God, you study the Word of God to show yourself approved, you will not be deceived when a lie comes. If you know the truth, you'll never believe a lie. If you know the truth and you're convinced of the truth, if you've got the truth settled in your heart, you'll never be convinced of a lie. That's why when we study to show ourselves approved, when the lies of the enemy come at us, will never be deceived. And those lies come all over the place. I was talking with somebody this week, and they said we were talking about a particular topic, and I asked them where did you get this? Oh, I was just scrolling through Facebook. Well, I'm not saying Facebook is bad, but don't let a lie deceive you. And before you roll your eyes at whoever this was, and I'm not telling you, how many times have you done it? You read something online and you go, whoa, I didn't know that. And I better call the pastor and find out if that's really what it is. And so I get these phone calls, which I'm okay with. Is this really what it says? Do your best to study the Word of God and find out the truth. Settle it in your heart. Do your best. Study the Word of God. Now, this person already knew the truth. But when lies are presented in such a way, I've had people tell me, you know, how to get saved and how not to get saved. Well, how many know how to get saved? Some of you just, oh, I think I know. Maybe I don't know. Well, what does the Bible say? It says, if you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus was raised from the dead, and you confess with your mouth, He is Lord, you will be saved. Are you convinced of that? So what if somebody came up and said, no, you need to do this? They would be wrong, correct. But how did we come to that? We had to get into the Word of God. We had to come to the truth. Now we know the truth, so we aren't going to be deceived by a lie that says, well, I got to witness to 10 people a week in order to get saved. I've got to be water baptized to get saved. Did you know that? Well, what does the Bible say about that? Okay, study to show thyself approved unto God. See, I think sometimes we don't study. We don't do our best. We might read the Bible, but we don't do our best. We don't do our best, because when it says that you shall be saved, what does that mean? Does that just mean that you got your ticket punched to go to heaven? Or does that mean you're going to be healed? Or does that mean you're going to be delivered? Does that mean God's going to provide for you? Have you studied to show yourself approved? Don't just take my word for it. Go back and study it. Find out what saved, sozo, means. Find out what that root word means so you understand when he says that we will be saved, that we will be delivered. But yet some people are continually bound by sin, by habits, by the enemy, because we are not convinced of the Word of God. We need to be convinced of what the Word says about us. So we can say to God, let it be unto me as you have said. There's another scripture. Jesus was teaching on the shore, and the people were crowding him. And in my imagination, he was probably getting pushed into the water. So he called Peter. Said, Peter, hey, can I use your boat? So he says, Peter said, sure. So he pulls the boat over there. Jesus climbs in and they start teaching the people on the shore from the boat. He gets done teaching. Peter had fished all night, okay? He gets done teaching and Jesus turns to Peter and says, Peter, let's go out into the deep and go fishing. Peter says, wait, I just spent all night doing that. What do you mean go fishing? It's the middle of the day. Fishermen do not do that. Professional ones at that time, because they were using nets. They just don't do that. That's not how you fish for them. So Peter responds in the natural saying, that's not, we just did that all night and we caught nothing. But then what did Peter say? He says, but because you said so, I will. Because you said so, I will. Do you realize that you and I have to get it so settled in our heart, so convicted in our heart, when we read the Word of God and it says that you are the righteousness of God in Christ, because not because I feel righteous, but because He says I'm righteous. Not because He says that I am, or because I am acting holy, but because He says I am holy. I am holy. Not because I'm acting or in the natural doing anything, but because He said so, I am. And we have to get that settled in our heart before we can continue to achieve the destiny that God has for us. God had great things in store for Mary, but she had to come to that point where she said, be it unto me according to thy word. He had great things in store for Peter, but Peter had to say, because you said so, I will. Because you said so, God, I will follow you. I will do whatever it takes. See, I think sometimes when we read these stories, we just kind of gloss over these things. And we really don't think about them. Because think about this. Psalms 103 verse 8 says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. But why is He slow to anger? Okay. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Says the Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you. Aren't you glad God's patient with you? Aren't you glad that God is long-suffering and merciful with us? He doesn't want anyone to perish, but He wants everyone to come to know Him. He's not slow, as some people think slow, as you and I might be slow. He knows exactly what He's doing, and He's doing it on purpose. And He wants everyone to come into agreement with His word and say, God, because you said so, I will. Mary accepted the word and received the promise. You see, when we accept the word and we receive what God said, it's ours. But as long as you are content to live without the promise, you'll never see it fulfilled. As long as you are content to live without it, as long as I am content to live without it, as long as I am content to live sick, I will be sick. As long as I am content to live poor and broke, I will be poor and broke. But if I choose to take God at His word, and His word says that He heals all of my sicknesses and all of my diseases. His word says that He is the Lord God who heals. His word says that by His stripes I am healed. His words, if I'm willing to take His promise as a promise for me, I will be healed. But as long as I'm content to be without it, and I've heard people, well, I can handle that. I can deal with that. Why would you want to? Why would you want to? Why not keep standing on the Word of God? God, I don't know how it's going to work. And I don't know what the time frame is here. But I know that you're not slow. I know you're right on time. And I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep believing for salvation of my loved ones. I'm going to keep believing for the healing of my body. I'm going to keep believing for the deliverance of my soul. I'm going to keep believing for whatever it might be, the promises that God has given you. Believe and trust God. And He will bring you through. Because you know what? Just like the children of Israel, I would hate to get down the road and have somebody tell me, like Rahab, where were you? Our hearts were already defeated. We had no courage, no stamina, no will to get up and fight, and you didn't show up. Let's show up. Let's take God at His word and say, devil, enough is enough. Be it unto me according to your word, God.